He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Yeah, it makes sense. Melton's market has been pretty difficult to nail down. Some people think that because of the number of teams that are interested in him at the minimum, that it's going to take a little bit more than the minimum to sign him. So then you're using some of your biannual money on there. I haven't found too many people who think that it's going to require the full biannual exception to sign Melton. But there are quite a few teams after him. So we'll see what his number could come down at. I'm still dubious about Bradley Beal giving up $14 million to be waived and stretched. I know that's where all of the reporting is heading towards. And I wouldn't be shocked if he did, but this is a guy who hasn't waived his no trade clause. And now we're expecting him to give up money to leave Phoenix. I'll be curious to see what happens there. But if he does, he's going to be looking to recoup whatever money that he gives up by way of that waive and stretch. And the biannual doesn't do that for him based on the numbers that they're talking about right now. So I think it's likelier he goes somewhere that can pay him a little bit more and give him a better opportunity. I've been hearing Lakers fans wonder, well, if the Lakers somehow get Beal, would he come off of the bench? That's the whole reason he doesn't want to be in Phoenix anymore. It's because he doesn't want to come off the bench there. I don't know that he would all of a sudden be like, oh yeah, I'll come off the bench for Austin Reeves. So that would be interesting. The Clippers opened up a shooting guard spot for him in their starting lineup. That feels like the place where he probably is going to be going. The next bit the next discussion I'd like to have with you, Yossi, is this whole Giannis plan, the idea of maintaining as much cap flexibility heading into the summer of 2027 as possible. And you pay really, really close attention to the very granular, aspects of cap construction and cap flexibility and all of this stuff. In a very macro way, I am of the belief that flexibility in the NBA under this CBA is actually employing players that other teams want to have more so than having your books literally clean for any given summer. In prior CBAs, I would have totally agreed that, keep your books open so that you can be a threat to sign Giannis whenever he becomes a free agent. But now with everybody signing their extensions and free agency not necessarily being any, the way that anybody is departing their team, certainly superstars are departing their teams. I don't really love the idea of prioritizing 2027 flexibility over employing good basketball players. What do you think about that kind of juxtaposition or those two options for planning the future?
Really quickly, I just want to touch on where we're touching on Beal. It does feel like the Clippers might be the spot, especially after that Norman Powell trade.
Yeah.
And they also they wouldn't be able to immediately have him recoup all the money that he just gave up. But it's worth noting the Clippers, they've been like the buyout kings, bringing in guys at like Batum and Westbrook and Reggie Jackson. And they paid all those guys. Like they paid them as much as they could with their limitations. So if Beal's looking for a good situation for him where he could potentially start, but also have kind of the promise of getting paid in the future, the Clippers have delivered on that in the past. So it just seems like that might be where it's going. But as to your question, right now it does not seem like it's the best for teams to plan to have cap space, because it just, that hasn't been the way players have been moving around anymore. Right. I talk about it all the time. Ever since COVID in 2020, the salary cap froze, players started signing extensions again. because you were getting just as much money then when if you were entering a free agency and signing a new contract, because it used to be the other way around. Now that in the new CBA, they changed the extension rules where players are much more, they can get larger extensions now. So now they're more motivated to secure the money now and figure out their destination later in trade. And we're seeing now that the only way really good players are switching teams in free agency is by just like a series of bad decisions by the team letting it happen. Because most teams nowadays, they get ahead of that. If they get an inkling that their player is going to leave in free agency, they're going to trade them before and get something before it's too late. The biggest example of is the Mavs. They originally gave Jalen Brunson a contract that didn't have a team option, so he had to be an unrestricted free agent because it was a four-year deal. And then they never extended him ahead of time. They let him become a free agent, and by the time he hit free agency, it was too late. He was already gone. He signed with the Knicks. We just saw Miles Turner leave the Pacers. The Pacers just told him, go find a bigger deal than whatever we're offering, and he did. And now, just a big mistake by the Pacers, just not by, you know, lowballing him early on, not paying him what he's worth. So it would take something like that, like a bunch of compounding mistakes by a team like the Bucks to lose Giannis in free agency, because I would suspect that most likely he gets traded if the Bucks would want to get something for him. Now, it doesn't mean that cap space doesn't have any value, because cap space now can be more so a credible threat for a team to target a player that they want. We just saw it with the Spurs. They were going to have 2026 cap space as well. And De'Aaron Fox made it clear to the Kings, hey, if I'm not going to extend with you guys, if I make it to free agency, I'm signing with the Spurs. They have the cap space to pay me. And that the Spurs were able to leverage that into trading for him early and at a pretty low price. So that's probably the optimistic scenario the Lakers are hoping for, is that they can leverage their 2027 cap space in combination with Giannis, I suppose it is, wanting to go to the Lakers if that's what he wants, to then get a trade happening. That's more realistically how they could get a guy like Giannis. So then it just kind of comes down to, well, is that what Giannis wants to do? And maybe him probably staying in Milwaukee another year gets them a little closer to that scenario, because no one's considering the Lakers right now as a Giannis team.
Yeah, the funny part about this is, while the Lakers have this Giannis plan that they are, you know, reportedly following, that there are teams around the league that are doing what the Lakers are doing, but for Luka. So you have Denver kind of lining up their ducks to make a Luka pursuit. You have the Clippers doing that same thing. It's going to be funny when, like, it's just going to be that gif from The Office where it's the Mexican standoff and they're like, they have their finger guns at each other, you know, and it's like, all right, one of these teams is going to get Luka. I guess the other one's going to get Giannis. And by the way, at every turn, Giannis has remained, you know, loyal to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee has found a way to keep Giannis loyal. I don't know. I think my approach with Luka is fairly simple. Just give him the best team you can possibly have around him. And if a player looks over at that and says, huh, that looks like fun, then you trade those good players for Giannis after that. You know, if it's Giannis or Jokic or whoever, if they look over and they say that looks fun, you know, because that was the other half of the Spurs pursuit, right? Was that not only did they have their books clean for the summer that De'Aaron Fox could have signed with them, but they also had the assets to go to Sacramento and be like, hey, let's make this respectable. And here's some junk and best of luck on your ways. You know, like,
here's some change.
Yeah, right. Yeah, hold on. What do I got in my back pocket? Hey, hey, Pop, what do we got in the back seat back there? Like, it's just, I think that is how superstars tend to move. And again, I keep on, I know that the Luka situation was pretty unique in that Nico Harrison lost his godforsaken mind, but that was another situation where it was like the reason the Lakers got Luka was because they had a player on their books that Nico wanted. They had Anthony Davis and they had, you know, Max Christie who the Mavs really liked on his contract at the time. So that's the, you know, this whole pursuit of Max flexibility for the summer of 2027. If that is in any way hindering what the Lakers are trying to do and building a team around Luka and around LeBron, not saying that it definitely is, but there's a hint of it out there. I wouldn't love that too much. I would say you have a pretty good opportunity here with LeBron coming off of an all NBA type season and Luka looking skinny. Let's see what you can do in the upcoming season.
Yeah, it's worth noting though that if Reeves does resign, that's gonna eat up into their 27 space a good amount. I haven't done any projections, but just thinking about that, I don't know how much. I don't know if they'd have like the highest tier cap space if they once they presumably re-sign Reeves. So I don't know, just something worth noting.
Or Rui or Ayton, you know, like
yeah.
Ayton especially, we just saw them give Jackson Hayes more than they needed to because of the Duffy connection. If Ayton is their legit starting center and has that connection and is close with Luka, that I think, you know, messes with that plan a little bit. So again, I just think it's pretty simple. Just go out and get good players. And if they have contracts that extend a year or so beyond what you're comfortable with, then cross that bridge when you get there. And at the end of the day, just compile talent. It's like this thing that they were doing in the back half of the LeBron AD era, where, you know, at some point, stop waiting for LeBron to slip, stop waiting for Anthony Davis to slip, and take advantage of the fact that at the time they weren't showing that those signs of slippage. Let's wrap things up here relatively soon, and then I'll jump into some of the questions that some of the live viewers have had. Moving forward, I think again they're working on a consolidation trade. I think worst case scenario they just waive Shake Milton's non-guaranteed money and maybe also Goodwin's non-guaranteed money. But what? Because I do believe the Lakers are interested in a starting caliber small forward. I know Rui has been kind of pigeonholed into playing small forward, but I think the Lakers would like to employ an actual small forward with their starting unit next year. So I think that's their goal. I know Wiggins is the kind of familiar name that has been, you know, kind of ever present all summer. But is there anything that you're kind of looking for that would signal what the Lakers are looking to do, you know, or would signal what the entire league is looking to do? I feel like everybody's just kind of staring at Phoenix right now.
Wait, are you mean in the long run or right now? What are teams looking for?
Maybe a little bit of both, right? Like, yeah, I think right now the thing that's bottlenecked the entire league is the Bradley Beal situation. And I think once that is kind of released, we'll see another kind of wave of activity. But is there anything that you know that you would signal? What the Lakers might be looking to do long term? You know, just in terms of, because you're really good at reading the tea leaves and what they're kind of getting ready to do potentially. Is there anything that you're kind of looking for?
I mean, I think I got more enlightened talking to you about what their plan is because I've been. You know, I don't project too far ahead, like 2027, to know that's what they've been planning to do. I knew 2026 they could technically do something, but if 2027 and trying to get Giannis topped out and join them is the plan, or try to get a trade to happen, I would figure they want to keep all their picks. They already don't have many to trade. They could only trade one first round pick. They have a bunch of swaps they could trade, but then I think they only have like two second round picks. So if if that's the plan, I think the Lakers are probably in the short term trying to keep as much as they can so they can spice up their best package possible if that opportunity comes, which could make improving the roster kind of hard right now, because I, in theory, understand if they want to try to just package like Vincent and Kleba, try to get Andrew Wiggins, pitching and maybe send in Connect and just kind of pitch Miami, hey, you get off the money for Wiggins next year. It doesn't seem like that's what Miami's interested in, but I think the Lakers want to try to turn those salary slots into a player of Wiggins' caliber and his, contract in only 2 years remaining without giving up any significant assets. So that'll be the challenge if they could pull something like that off. But I mean, I do think it's worth then talking about the one player we haven't even mentioned. I don't think we even mentioned his name at all. LeBron James. I mean, do you think it's at all possible that the Lakers do just consider trading him this year to just to resolve that timeline conflict, but then also really get that other forward, maybe two, get a deeper roster? I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, one, I'm kind of chuckling at the fact that we went 45 minutes of a podcast, and this is the first time we're mentioning LeBron. I think that's a record. I honestly think it's a record that this time of year. So what I reported this morning when I narrated the piece that I wrote over the weekend about LeBron is that there are two sides of the story, essentially, but all that really matters is that LeBron anticipated getting another 1-1 deal, that he could opt out of this contract, get another 1-1 deal with probably at or near the max with a no trade clause still attached to it. And that deal wasn't waiting for him. And I think that's kind of the crux of why we've had the subtweet make a return to our lives. So, do I think they could trade LeBron? I think if LeBron goes to the Lakers and says, hey, I'm not going to be too difficult about this with this no trade clause. I understand that, you guys have to do what's in your best interest. And then also keep in mind what I think is in my best interest. Let's try to find a deal that is mutually beneficial to both of us. And if LeBron and the Lakers get on the same page in that regard, it's like a non-zero chance that he could be traded. I think it's far more likely that he is on the Lakers next year, but I don't think we can dismiss that as a possibility out of hand. And to your point about the Lakers right now, if they were to go to Milwaukee and if Giannis tells Milwaukee, hey, thanks for the Miles Turner thing, thanks for getting me Dame, and I guess thanks for getting me Kuzma, but if he goes to Milwaukee and says, hey, I'm probably not gonna, I would like to go play with Luka in LA, the Lakers don't even have like a here's some spare junk offer for them. And if they trade LeBron, I think that does improve the kind of, hey, let's keep it respectable offer that they could make to Milwaukee for Giannis. And I think that would kind of link complete kind of the missing parts of the bridge that bridges that gap between where they're at right now and their pursuit of Giannis in 27. But if they, because here's the part that like I see a lot of people always, kind of linking the Lakers and Cleveland in this LeBron situation. That trade is almost impossible for me to come up with, because you have to get Cleveland under the second apron as part of that deal, but the Lakers can't take back enough money to help Cleveland get under that second apron. So you would then need to include a third team that would first get Cleveland under the second apron, and then Cleveland needs to send stuff to the Lakers that the Lakers would be interested in. And that's a team that everybody seems, to pencil LeBron onto their roster most often. I don't see him getting bought out. So if he isn't getting bought out, like what, let's say we entertain a world in which LeBron is getting traded. Which situation do you think makes the most sense to you for him to get traded to?
So I bring it up because pragmatically speaking, if the Lakers kind of concluded that this might be the last year for LeBron, the fact that they didn't want to already like lock him in for next year, then why not explore the possibility of trading him now and getting and answering all these rotation needs that they have, including maybe getting two above average perimeter defenders at the wing. I think like if the Lakers could somehow accomplish that, I think that would make a lot of sense. So as far as like the buyout thing, yeah, that would be such a like worst case scenario for the Lakers. Like, I wonder if LeBron can really flex his, hey, I don't want to get traded to any of these teams that since no one can really trade for me, if the market was so low, please buy me out or I'm going to retire. And then if it comes to that, then the Lakers kind of have to buy him out. But I don't think it needs to come to that because I only see like two viable trades. And by that, I think really just one. The Cavs one, it's not going to happen. Then there's like the Knicks, which would be like a lot for the Knicks to give up, in my opinion. Like they'd have to give up either Karl Anthony Towns or they'd have to give up a combination of OG and Mikal. And that would be a fantastic outcome for the Lakers.
Yeah.
But I think the one that's more realistic would be the Dallas one. I know we've discussed it before where the Mavs can get there with a combination of guys like Klay Thompson, Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington, one of Caleb Martin, Najee Marshall, maybe Max Christie. I'm thinking like, what if it was like a multi-team trade? Maybe the Heat get involved and the Lakers could get Wiggins and the Heat get other pieces from the Mavs instead to help with whatever their goals are. I think that's kind of the viable LeBron trade at this point. And this that would happen this year. Anthony Davis is obviously there. Kyrie Irving is there. So
D'Angelo Russell is there.
How can I forget? So I kind of like that for the Lakers. Honestly, at this point, given where everything is, given how it seems like LeBron's time in Lakers, whether it's after this year or maybe in the year after next, it is, you know, kind of coming to an end soon, it feels. So if they could turn 40-year-old to turning 41-year-old LeBron James into all that, maybe even get a pick, I think I'd kind of want to do that at that point than keep him.
Yeah, I to me the biggest thing is if LeBron wants to be in LA, cool. Stick around in LA. If LeBron wants to be moved, fine. Let's find a spot that, you know, we both benefit from. I think my favorite funny trade or fake trade to kind of roll with here is if LeBron wants to go to Golden State and it's just a one for one with Jimmy Butler, that's kind of a funny like option here as well. Just to see how that would turn out. But yeah, I don't know. I for a few reasons, like, because the other part of it too is Lakers fans have really supported retired Lakers over the years to the extent where like Magic became a billionaire. Shaq is, I think, near billionaire. I don't know if he's officially a billionaire yet. Kobe, I believe, was a billionaire by the time or on his way to becoming a billionaire by the time he passed away. And Lakers fans, if they feel like somebody did right by them, tend to do right by that player after their playing days are over. And I don't know if LeBron wants to leave on bad terms and risk that relationship with the biggest, I think, basketball fan base in the world. So that's another thing to kind of watch for, is that tightrope he might walk if he does want to leave, of like leaving but doing so respectably and trying to leave on good terms with the Lakers as an organization and the Lakers fan base. That would be really interesting to watch as well. But I hope I don't get aggregated for saying I think there's a world where LeBron gets traded without the rest of the context of I think it's far more likely that he's a Laker next year. All right. Let's really quickly. We have one super comment here, so I'm going to just really quickly answer that and then send you on your merry way, Yossi. We have to start with the most important clip on the show, though. Fuck Washington! All right. Brandon Oeming writes, Gabe Vincent, Maxey, and a second round pick for Dylan Brooks, Dalton Connect for Nick Richards, and the D'Anthony Melton on the biannual. Would Gabe and Maxey for Brooks open up money? I don't think Connect for Richards would. So what like off the top of your head, I don't think that opens up the biannual for Melton.
No. First of all, I don't need to do the math. None of this would work. Like you can't. Doing all these moves would not open up enough BAE to use the whole thing.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't think the Suns do either of these deals. They need Dylan Brooks. Like the Lakers, they don't really have any perimeter defense, but Dylan Brooks is their one guy. I don't think they're going to just trade him for seconds. They're going to try to be competitive. I don't know if they want... I don't know if Connect is doing anything for the Suns. I just don't think the Suns do any of this, to be honest.
Yeah, Connect for Richards, I think, would technically, you know, pique their interest, but Connect's value is pretty low across the league right now. I've seen Lakers fans kind of pencil him into their trade proposals as a first round pick or first round adjacent type value. And I think he's probably closer to a second rounder in terms of value around the league. And Nick Richards isn't exactly, you know, nobody's exactly falling over themselves to trade for Nick Richards either, but and they have, you know, they have Mark Williams and they drafted Maliwak, that's their two centers, I would imagine primarily. It would be interesting, but, the point of this exercise and you and I talking has been finding ways for the Lakers to open up biannual money and that stuff wouldn't do it. So I would still say, you know, making a trade where the Lakers take back like $3 million or so less than they send out would be ideal, especially if it also clears a roster spot.
Yeah. All right. Utah, they just saved a bunch of money. Maybe there's something to be done there.
I can't believe that's all that they traded Collins for. I mean, they were getting ready to buy him out, so technically it's more than nothing, but yeah, that's kind of crazy. Yossi, anything to plug before we get you out of here?
Where can I? So I've got my show, my newsletter, both named Third Apron, the newsletter on Substack, Deep Salary Cap Analysis. And then I have my show, the Third Apron Podcast. Anthony is a friend of the show. I'll probably have him on at some point. Make sure to subscribe to both of those. You guys can see all my salary cap information on capsheets.com. That's fully up to date with all the transactions that recently happened. And make sure you follow me on Twitter, Blue Sky, and my name, Yossi Goslin. I have instant salary cap analysis as soon as transactions happen. Best time of the year to follow me and have me on notifications.
Absolutely. The information is impeccable. And more importantly, because this information can get pretty, pretty weighty, you know, with all the numbers and stuff like that. But I think, Yossi, you've done a phenomenal job of keeping things light and having some fun with it, too. So, everybody go check out Yossi's work. And, yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of the Lakers Lounge. And I know, I don't know if you guys have checked it out already, but I narrated the article I wrote over the weekend about LeBron. That is on the RSS feed, so check that out. But the best way to make sure that you don't miss anything is to hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, and we will talk to you again whenever we do. Have a good one, everybody.